The scripture reading that I read just a few moments ago, it's probably one of my favorites in the New Testament. I just like the interplay between the Lord and this woman that was who confronted him. You know, there are numerous professions which seem to blur or merge into one. A minister's life sometimes takes us to areas that encroach upon many domains or spectrums of issues. Well, let's say parsons wear many hats. It's very true. Preaching is just a sliver of it. There's a lot of things goes on behind the scenes. If you were to follow me through the week, you would see that it's, and it's not boring either. It's enjoyable. And now that I'm getting back into the swing of things, I'm going to, you know, like visiting and different things. You know, to tell you the truth, aside from preaching, visiting is one of my favorite things to do. It really is. Because to me, I get so enriched by going to visit the shut-ins. And also, and this doesn't exclude those in the hospital, because that's another situation there. I mean, I'm not gleeful that people are in the hospital or anything, but it really does reward me to go, because you get to minister. And here is an example of what Christ confronted here, this woman here. But you know, when someone is in dire straits, or even comes to see me about a condition, whether it's religious or personal or financial, the most difficult thing is the feeling of helplessness or powerlessness of solving their misery. Well, the preacher can't solve it. It's the Lord who does the whatever it takes, healing or reconciliation or whatever you want to call it. But what about when God is slow in responding to a prayer that has been prayed? We've all been there and done that. We pray and pray, and it seems like, well, is God ever going to answer my prayer? And we tap our toes and we twiddle our thumbs and we wonder, God, why don't you hurry up? I mean, I've got a clock to look at. And you know, what is to be done when we must wait on God? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. And that's easy to say. It's also easy to preach, especially if you're not the one waiting, isn't it? Tell that to a person who's just lost a loved one, or to someone who has been told by their lifelong spouse that they are leaving and have no plans to return. It's simple to wait if we are not the ones sitting in the corridor. Tell that to a child who must live in an abusive household, or an elderly person who receives bad news that their limited income is being reduced. You know, it's interesting. Anytime, there's always somebody has a problem. Well, this morning, for example, family in the church over at Fort Meade, they lost their dog. He'd been in the family for 14 years. And the children were devastated. And, you know, it really takes a lot out of a person. And, you know, I did a lot of talking to the children today, you know, like that. And, you know, the thing is that you never know. Even with you, someone may give you a telephone call. You might run up on them in a store or something. And they have something they just have to share, and they have to get it off their chest. I know each of you have probably encountered that sometime or the other. And you know, the thing about it is, and I say this, and I don't say it in a tone of condescension, but you know, many people believe that politicians have the solution for everything, but truthfully, God only offers love. Remember that. God is the one who offers love. Today we're going to encounter a woman who did something outrageously bold. There's another word for bold. It's audacious. You don't hear that word much anymore. But this person was bold. As a Gentile, she approached Christ and asked healing for her daughter, but he at first surprisingly refused her request. Now, this is a difficult area in the Bible. We see Christ from a different angle, and we say he was harsh with her. No. Listen carefully what happened. A reminder about the religious and cultural position of the Lord at this moment in his life. For the first time, the rejected son of David to his own people, ministers to a Gentile, a pork eater, someone that is not encountered too frequently in Galilee or Judea. For example, another person may have requested something stupendous like she did, but a less determined woman or man would have probably withdrawn back into the crowd, fade away, and been extremely embarrassed. But not this woman who demonstrated a tenacious faith toward Christ. It also revealed Christ was far more than a miracle worker, but as the Messiah, the Christ, the one who had been prophesied for 2,000 years. For this woman who lived in the region of Tyre, that's T-Y-R-E, which was considered a very secular region to devout Jews. It was just to the north of Galilee, not far from Nazareth. But the closest thing we have to this in our country is Oregon or Washington. Do you know church membership in that northwest area of the country is considered the lowest in all the United States? Church attendance is almost zilch in a lot of communities. Most Jews just wrote off Tyre as just a place of pure paganism. However, the Lord had deliberately traveled to this region out of his own initiative to this foreign land of unbelief. Well, we know the reason now because she's the subject of this sermon. For this woman, what she needed for her daughter was obvious. When loved ones are ill, there isn't anything we wouldn't do to make sure they get the best medical attention available. We would commit highway robbery to obtain help for a family member or a friend in need if the circumstances demanded it. Remember, this Canaanite woman was at her wit's end. Nothing was working for her, and she desperately sought out this prophet from Nazareth. It was highly probable that Christ's reputation had spread far and wide, even into the boondocks of Tyre. Well, as I said earlier, this woman's daughter was ill, severely ill, and she immediately needed assistance. And as a brief reminder, remember when I said this at the beginning of the sermon, when she encountered Christ for the first time, this mother received absolute silence from him. That was a very odd response, or was it? What happens when God puts us on hold, or it seems like God puts us on hold? Everyone, it seems, always receives an immediate answer in our thinking, but we've reached a dead end with no response. We must remember that God never forgets us, and there must be a trust factor involved. We don't know about this present moment, but an important reminder is that God has been faithful to us with all our yesterdays. Now listen, think back on the times where you were, as I use the term, dire straits in the past. It might have been health, financial, it might have been relationships or whatever. God intervened. God will continue to intervene in our lives. And we must have hope in that. Hope that God, through trust, will help us out. And we know that God will. And God, as I said, has been faithful to our yesterdays and continue to come through for us both now and the future. There is nothing too difficult for God to do. If you were to pick your Bible up today or tomorrow and start looking for passages, you will see there's numerous times where God says, "Is the arm of the Lord too short? Is there anything I can't do?" But why is it we seem like little atheists? We seem like we just don't believe that. We must believe in God is going to come through for us. But you know, the silent treatment from the Lord can be very upsetting. Does that mean the Lord is uncaring or unconcerned? As it looks like at first he is here with this Canaanite woman, or some Bible translations call her a Syrophoenician woman. Absolutely not. This Canaanite woman did not walk away, but kept pursuing out of trust in the Lord. She believed he would eventually act and do something. That is what we must do. We must keep on trusting and believing in our Lord because He will eventually address our needs. Even when God seems to have forgotten us, it doesn't mean that He's ignoring us. Hang on. There's good news coming from the Lord. Keep praying and study your Bible daily because there will be an answer from God. It's guaranteed. Two excellent examples is Abraham. He was almost 100 before he became a father, but he trusted in God. What about Job? Job was a good example of suffering. God brought him through that and came through for him. Remember this too. There were 400 years of silence between the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, and the New Testament, the first advent of Christ. 400 years they waited until the Messiah came. So we must wait, and it's not all that pleasant, is it? The mother whom Jews would have called a doll because of their distaste for Gentiles was ready to submit herself to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord knew that she was prepared to commit her entire self to Him and sought in this discourse to make sure that her confession was sincere. In fact, it was indeed an honest profession of faith. And Christ healed her daughter. But I am also convinced that the Lord would have healed her daughter, but as a lesson to others, including Jews, that God loves all peoples. He made her the open door and showcase for the widening circle of God's love, which would now include the Gentile world. We owe her a lot, or we wouldn't be sitting here today. Because I'm sure eventually Christ would have reached out to the Gentiles, but look at what this woman did. She was, again, bold enough to confront Him. You know, whenever God places us on hold, we know there is a reason. God will never discard us and shall address our personal needs, grant peace to our hearts, give us the hope and wisdom for our frustrated lives. I knew a woman one time from Oklahoma. She always wanted to be a missionary, but she was always something coming up. She either had to take care of her elderly parents or she had this or that. And she realized something one day, and somebody heard her crying in the adjacent office where she was working. It found out that she was now too old to become a missionary. And she thought, well, what am I going to do? I've been preparing my entire life to be a missionary. And at that time, 35 was considered old. And they would not allow people to be appointed as missionaries after the age of 35. Well, it just so happened she went to a conference in Oklahoma, and there was a man there who was the head of this mission society. And he got acquainted with her. And he was just struck by her brilliance and her gifts and talents. And in about a week, he had sent her a letter informing her that if she would like to go to China with he and his family, that she could work in the mission office there as a missionary. God was preparing her all along to go to Shanghai. Yet, she thought at first there were nothing but dark clouds surrounding her, that there was no hope, but yet she still had a glimmer of trust that God was going to come through for her, and God did. So when you think things are at their dead end, there's a concrete wall facing you, just remember, God's the one that can remove that concrete wall. Whenever you think life is hopeless, God will come there for us. We have to believe that. If we didn't, then we would be in a sad state. So don't give up. If there's something that you really feel like you would like to do, or whatever it is, regardless whatever age factor you are, group you're in, God will still come through for you. And this woman I was talking to you about, She didn't retire till she was 80 years old. So God was able to use someone that was available. We have to be available to God, and God will honor that availability. Never forget that at all. God shall instill in us the courage and placidness when we feel forsaken. God is all we need. It sounds simple and perhaps trite to some listeners, but it is true. God is the answer when things are chaotic with our lives. An atheist once sarcastically remarked when someone mentioned God is the answer, and he said, well, what's the question? Well, you know what? The question is required no response, because God covers it all. God has responded to everything through Jesus Christ is signed, sealed, and delivered. Whatever is problematic with us, whether we're have health issues or if it's family or if it's something that needs to be taken care of, or hospital bills like I'm facing, you know what? God's going to be there. It's not. Now, I'm not going to say God's going to hand us a silver platter or something from Fort Knox, but God will get us through that, and it takes faith to do it. Now, what about the worry factor? Well, we are going to worry some. That's human nature to do so. But if you place it with God, God will get you through that worry. And I'm not just saying this to fill up time. I'm saying it because it is true. Whatever is problematic with us, our faith must be focused upon the Lord. When you wait for an answer, maintain the faith in God. Also keep this in mind too. It does require faith to have faith in God. Do you have such faith in your life, mind and heart at this moment? If not, perhaps this is the occasion you should ask to receive it from the Lord. All it takes is asking, and the Lord will give you that faith. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes our faith wavers, and we sometimes scratch our heads, and we shake our heads, and we wonder, Lord, I don't know if you're going to help me out or not. But we have to believe through our faith that all things are possible through you. Let our faith never waver, and allow doubt to be permanently exiled from our lives. Help us, O God, when we're stumbling and around in the dark, not knowing what to do, but let us know that you are the anchor, that you are the one that will give us the hope we need. If there's people here today who's having problems and doubts, we know you will take care of that. We ask this through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.